And welcome to the final episode of Rule of Three for 2016. Our first full year of podcast, by the way, now that I think about it. I'm Brian Miller. The Rule of Three, of course, two comics, three topics, 10 minutes each. The perfect podcast for your modern lifestyle. And joining me, as always, for the 60th time now, Tim Slagle.
Hey.
And that's kind of a big number, yeah, 60?
Last of 2017.
Yeah, or 2016.
2016, yes. Yes, last but before 2017.
We've potted straight through all of 2016.
Wow, our first complete year.
Yes, the circle is complete. And we'll be talking New Year's a little bit, comedy New Year's specifically, which is not a different date like Chinese New Year. it's just sort of a different way to go about your regular New Year's. And we'll talk a little Christmas wrap-up before that. But also, before we get to there.
Our friend, our mutual friend, the friend of ours.
Who comes up on the show all the time?
No. That we bring up. I don't want to talk too much. It's kind of personal. His children actually have three New Years.
Because, how's that?
Well,
American New Year's, Chinese New Year's.
His ex-wife is Jewish.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, the poor kids.
That's a lot of New Years.
Yeah. I don't know if there's any more that you could celebrate.
No. Some friends of mine, she is Vietnamese and he is Thai. I'm sorry. He's Thai. And
it could be Thai and Tao.
It could be Thai and Tao, but he is Thai and she is Vietnamese. And they're both cultures are really big into numerology. But they're not the same numerologies. You know, they're kind of variations on a theme.
So they disagree on the numbers.
Well, and they don't care. They're Americans. I mean, you know, they're basically first generation immigrant, you know, or whatever. They were born over here. But their grandparents, especially, who now live with them, are like, you know, don't speak English, very much Vietnamese and Thai. And when they got married, they had to like have this conclave or whatever. They sat down this, and then the grandmothers figured out the wedding date based on what dates weren't inherently canceled out in the complex numerology of the Venn diagram of bad numbers, basically.
Oh, man.
There were like three dates in the year they could get married.
And speaking of bad numbers, 2016 was a bad number for many people.
Yes. A lot of celebrity deaths. And we 2016, I suppose, like any good horror movie, you know, the villain never quite goes away until the last, very last second. You know, the credits got to be rolling before old Freddy Krueger's dead. 2016, we mistakenly said, don't worry, it's dead. Let's just walk past it and get out of here. And as we walked past it, it stirred and reached up and claimed one final, series of victims, actually. George Michael died on Christmas Day. And then probably, though, the much bigger one was Carrie Fisher died today.
I don't know. Was it bigger or was it just?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
You think Carrie Fisher bigger than George Michael?
By a factor of many, 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 many.
Huh. Yeah.
Because here's the thing. Carrie Fisher, first off, just the nerd Star Wars stuff. I mean, just that alone. Any major Star Wars cast member dying is going to be a big old deal.
Well, you know, it's not so much. I don't know so much it's the cast member as it's that outfit.
Well, I mean, that's part of the hair and everything, but...
But that outfit. That outfit is burned in the memory of every adolescent boy.
Oh, but of course, yeah. Well, there's the...
It was the first time... Yeah, I think it was probably the first time most young boys realized that they liked girls. Because
yeah,
when
it's like, hey, Luke's not the only person who can levitate things with his mind. I'm doing it right now.
Oh, man, the Force is strong right now.
Yeah. Force just won't go away.
So where did the... Well, it's, I could feel the Force. I never felt that before.
Yeah, no, that's definitely true. But then, see, so beyond that, so there's that element. But then Carrie Fisher also, you forget how many great movies and really big movies she's in, because she's never the star of any of these big movies, but she's got a great little role in Blues Brothers. She's got a really great supporting role in When Harry Met Sally, which I've seen way more times than Star Wars. And she's Tom Hanks' wife in The Burbs as well. Love that movie, by the way.
Yeah, I know, but I don't know if you would. I'll give you Blues Brothers and Harry Met Sally, but I don't know if The Burbs really falls under the category of classic.
No. That was just if you were my age, you enjoyed that quite a bit. But no, I'm not saying it's a classic, but it is a very popular 80s cult movie. But then also her books, which were pretty popular, Postcards from the Edge, then turned into the movie starring Meryl Streep. Big mental illness advocate as well. One of the earlier ones.
Yeah, but George Michael is the only person who wrote a new Christmas song in the 80s that didn't involve starving children.
Well, I'll give him that. I'm not trying to impugn upon George, but no, I don't think it's even close. Carrie Fisher was beloved by a lot of different groups for a lot of different reasons.
Sure.
And I don't think she has nearly the detractors that George Michael does. I think it was interesting that everybody's on the "oh, George Michael was great" train, when I feel like the day before he died, it would have been very gauche to say such a thing.
Well, you know, I'm not sure that people remembered Carrie Fisher the day before she died.
Based on the massive applause that rolled through the theater during the brief sort of Leia reference in Star Wars. Oh, yeah.
In Rogue One?
Yes.
Okay, I didn't see that, but
yeah.
I'm trying to avoid spoiler-free as possible. I did catch the applause that showed up when the Millennium Falcon was shown in the corner of the screen during Episode 7. So
yeah, let me maybe posit the argument that because you are not a feminist, a feminist icon is not as important to you. Would that be a fair assessment?
Perhaps.
But she's really important to a lot of women writers.
Okay.
Her books are good, by the way. I will give you that.
But I'm talking more of the imprint on pop culture is George Michael was more solidly there.
That's crazy. I don't think we've ever disagreed on anything more in our entire lives.
Pardon?
So who was the one this year that you would say for you, who was the biggest one among all the deaths?
Probably Bowie. Probably Bowie had more impact on my life.
Do you think Bowie was the biggest one at large?
No, not at all.
Who was the biggest one overall?
Probably Prince.
Yeah. And of course Prince was huge nationally and internationally. I think you're right about that. And then of course I almost have a warped perspective on it because Prince was such a huge deal here in Minnesota that like
you just think it's just Minnesota.
Right, but I mean, people still, it's like, there's still like 5 articles a day about it in the paper, it feels like. I mean, it's still turned up to 11. So part of me is like, is it just here? It's like, no, I think it's elsewhere too, but I mean, oh boy.
Yeah, it was big elsewhere, yeah, but it's, but everyone else got over it elsewhere.
Yeah, still a big deal in Minnesota. Yeah. I would say the biggest one for me personally was Gary Shandling.
Wow.
Big Larry Sanders fan, huge Larry Sanders fan.
Sure. Sure, Larry Sanders actually is a little footnote. Is what's his face, whose name eludes me more, who created The Office? Whose name eludes me right now?
Michael Schur?
No, the British guy.
Oh, Gervais.
Gervais, Ricky Gervais. Yeah. Yes, Ricky Gervais said, you know, because everyone, if you're a snooty television guy, you have to, when somebody brings up The Office, you have to say that you liked the British version better.
Sure.
That shows your, that signals your snootiness. But the interesting thing is Ricky Gervais, when he created The Office, said that he based The Office on the Gary Shandling show. So all these snooty people that think that they appreciate British humor better have no idea that The Office was a ripoff of the Gary Shandling show.
That's interesting. Shandling is just was a great comic. Just such a funny guy. Great, great interview guest.
Sure.
You know, kind of curmudgeonly, and you never know where he was going to go.
Sure.
I love the Larry Sanders Show. I've seen that a couple of times through, and really, that is the original HBO prestige show. You know, he invented HBO as a TV destination,
right? As a network.
Yeah.
That
was pretty much him. Who else? Who were some other big ones this year? I feel like there was even today, the Watership.
Gene Wilder,
that's a real big one, too.
Somebody actually, you can Google it. Somebody actually did a Sgt. Pepper's album cover, and it's on the drum it says 2016, and all the characters in the background were the, and you look at it, it's like, oh, Muhammad Ali is another one.
You know what? I freaking, boy, could we had so many of them. I would say Muhammad Ali might be the biggest one. Prince was big because he was younger. We all knew Muhammad Ali was going to go. Muhammad Ali was maybe the most impactful person to have died overall.
I think George Michael was might have been the second biggest shock.
Yeah, you're right about the shock of George Michael, because he was a relatively healthy, young 53-year-old guy. That's, you know.
Right.
And Carrie Fisher, of course, only 60, but then the flip side, you know, famously lived pretty hard for a couple of decades.
Sure. Admittedly.
Which might have contributed to her untimely demise.
But everything.
Speaking of
everything.
Untimely demises, by the way, this segment has to meet its demise right now.
And we're back on the Rule of Three. We're going to be talking about New Year's gigs in just a little bit. But first of all, how was your Christmas, Brian Miller?
No, it was quite nice, thank you. And I, by the way, got your Christmas card.
Oh.
Nice stamp. I like the stamp. I mean, I'm not the postage stamp, but your Von Schlegel.
Oh, the little emboss. The little embosser.
The embossed stamp. It's very nice. In fact, we got it. My wife goes, who the hell sent us a Christmas card with an embossed stamp? Look at this.
Who the hell do we
and
know?
And I glance at it, I go, I don't recognize the name. I go, must be like a car dealer or something. And I said, wait a minute. Von Schlegel. Yes. No, I know who this is.
Yeah.
So quite the festive photo.
I have been working that embosser over my several hundred Christmas cards for almost 20 years now. And the thing is truly on its last legs.
Oh yeah.
I think I can repair it for next year, but I don't know if that's even I don't even know if I'd know where to find one of those anymore.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it's kind of charmingly old school. It's right up there with a wax seal.
Yeah, you'll see next year, cuz we've done with this, that was our 19th Christmas card that we've done together. And
wow.
we've all done special there's been special things for all of them. And you will next year. We did it at 10 years. We did a retrospective, and then at 20 years, we're gonna do a retrospective of all 20 cards.
Oh, that's cool.
It's it's kind of like I don't know if you were a card collector when you were a tyke, but
like baseball cards and whatnot.
Yeah, or Planet of the Apes cards, or
mm-hmm.
Monkeys
yep.
cards, or
yep.
I don't know what else. But occasionally in the mix, they would give you a card with all the cards on it.
Mm-hmm.
So
yep.
you could check off to see if you know if you had everything, and that's kind of what we do every 10 years.
I like it.
So you can compare it to the ones you've seen, because not everyone has seen all 19.
But no, we had a nice pretty low key Christmas. I cooked 6 pounds of seafood.
Oh wow!
Yeah, I mean seafood paella for 8.
Wow.
So yeah, that was an undertaking to say the least.
It's I went back to my mom's for Christmas, and she does it up, and the whole family comes in. It's the only date of the year that people are not allowed to skip.
Sure.
And it's
it doesn't matter what your excuse is. You got no excuse for
yeah. There
day.
Is no excuse. You know it happens. You know she wants you there. And if you are not there, you get no presents. That's long been established. People have skipped it, and they have.
And they got skipped.
Yeah. And one year, actually, you had to be there and had to check in your phone.
Ooh, I like that. Well, your mom's a card. I'm a big fan of your mom. She's a funny lady.
Yeah. Yeah, she got.
She's sassy. I like that, checking in the phone thing.
Yeah, she got a case for cassettes, and everyone was to put in their phone. And then it got locked up and put in the closet. Anyone that would not surrender their phone did not get a Christmas gift.
Your mom and Dave Chappelle.
So anyway, this year, to entertain ourselves, is my sister and myself. We actually had some interesting games. It's something we came up with a while ago. It's we've always been playing catchphrase. I don't know if you know that one.
I don't.
It's kind of a cross between password and charades.
Mm-hmm.
And basically it's a device that starts counting down and gives you a word or a phrase, and you have to act out or find ways to get someone to say that phrase
mm-hmm.
without saying any of the words, any of the rhyming, without spelling, you know, the usual.
Sure, sure, sure.
Things like that. And once they guess the phrase, you toss it to the next person. and whoever has it when the alarm goes off loses the point. Their team loses the point.
Oh, hot potato like.
Yeah, hot, very hot potato like. So it's
sure.
It's been a family staple for years, but this year we came up with the idea of putting tooth whitening stretchers in your mouth before we play. Do you have any idea what I'm talking about?
No.
They're these little,
like those tooth whitening strips?
No. There's these little plastic, as you can do, if you go into a tanning booth, there's stuff you can put on your teeth that is ultraviolet reacted. And then these things are like, they stretch your, they're little plastic devices, they stretch your lips out. Looks very Brazil, from the movie Brazil.
Okay.
Stretches your lips out so you can see, so your teeth are totally, will totally get illuminated.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about
yeah.
now. So, like the Clockwork Orange things for your eyes.
Yes, exactly.
But for your mouth.
But for your lips. So that you can't say, you can't form certain words or certain letters of the words. And then, we play catchphrase with that. So that was interesting.
That is weird. I don't know what I was expecting, but that was not it.
It was an interesting variation. And then another game my sister found. It's a Russian roulette game. And it is exactly what it sounds. It is a pistol and is a revolver handle. And on the other end, it's got a ring in which you inflate a balloon.
Oh.
And you pass it around and put the balloon upside your head and pull the trigger.
Wow. Well, they didn't really add a layer to that, did they?
Well, you know, except for the fact that you just get a balloon on you. You know, it'd be more fun maybe if you filled up the balloon with liquid.
Right.
So that'd be a little more accurate, but
And then also, or maybe you had to answer a trivia question to not pull the trigger or something.
I don't know. But that one was fun. But my favorite is the game, and this is available online. I'm sure the Russian roulette game is available online as well. But this one is called Bean Boozled.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea
is bamboozled with beans.
Yeah, and the idea is that you have Birdie Bots, I believe is what they were called in Harry Potter, with the every flavor beans.
Oh, yeah.
Which Jelly Belly actually came out with shortly after the movie.
Yep. A child at a Christmas party tried to foist one on me like I was some sort of sap who was just showed up yesterday. And I let the little fella know that I in fact, have been around the block a few times.
Well, this game was delightful because basically what it is, it has a spinner on it. And you spin it, and you have to eat one of the colored beans that it lands on. And there are two flavors in every color. It's like the aqua blue one is either going to taste like berries or toothpaste. The yellow one is either going to taste like caramel corn or moldy cheese. The pink one with blue spots is either Tutti Frutti or Stinky Socks. The brown one is chocolate pudding or dog food.
Ugh. Oof. What was the worst one?
Dog food is pretty bad. Lawn clippings, boogers, and vomit, I think. I think vomit's probably the worst.
Yeah, that one could actually provoke some reaction, perhaps.
Well, it's funny you should mention that, because my nephew, I said, what would you give me if I eat a whole handful of these? I go, nothing, because you're going to wreck the stupid game. He goes, okay, what would you give me if you ate four? I go, you're going to wreck the stupid game. Don't do that.
Yeah.
He goes, no, I'm going to do it. I go, no, really, don't do that. And then my nephew goes, Uncle Tim, why are you stopping him? And I thought for a minute, I went, oh, yeah, why am I?
Yeah, like, why am I helping this kid out? I want to watch this.
So he started chewing them, and he's going, caramel corn. There's something else. I'm going, well, that might be the boogers you got. And then he starts going, ooh, ooh. And then all of a sudden it's like, you got to swallow them. You can't, you have to swallow them. You did it. You lose the bet if you don't. And then he grabs the Coke to wash him down. He gagged a little. The Coke went up his nose, and it was all over.
Nice! the Technicolor yawn was in full effect?
Oh, man. We couldn't stop laughing at that one.
I was going to say, that's one of those where I feel like, based on my knowledge of the Schlegel crew, that was pretty that was met with hilarity rather than shock.
Oh, man. And while he's over the sink, my Mrs. Schlegel comes back and goes, "I hope you're all happy. He's vomiting so hard that his nose started bleeding."
Well, I'm sure that got everybody laughing really hard.
And at that point, we couldn't catch our breath.
That definitely sounds that sounds pretty great, actually. That definitely sounds like the Christmas highlight.
So, yeah, it's highly recommended. And if you're going to play the game, a little recommendation, get yourself a 10-sided die, because the spinner doesn't work so well.
Ah, better to assign a number to a color.
Assign
and
a
let
number
it go.
To the color, yeah, and get a 10-sided die. Available at your local comic book store for about $1.49.
Yes, and surprisingly, not something I own. It's funny, you know, people, you know, certain, it's always funny when people, you know, like my wife, I'll make fun of her very mildly, and then she'll get mad, which will of course make it amusing, and then I'll keep going, and then she'll get madder, which just makes it more and more amusing. I always like that nexus when somebody thinks they're pushing the other way, but they're actually fueling your thing. And that's exactly what that is. Like, you realize his nose is bleeding. You're like, even better.
Yeah, it's the old comic line. It's funny till someone gets hurt. No, then it becomes hilarious.
Yes, exactly.
And I think that's it.
I believe that'll wrap up our. We're not going to end it on a better story. I'll tell you that. And on the final segment for 2016, a rule of three, the New Year's. It's not quite here, but it's close. We maybe only be another 40 or 50 celebrity deaths from the end of the year at this point.
Should odd acquaintance be forgot?
Yes, exactly. So if you are not a comedian, and statistically at this point, I think most people are. Based on my brief numbers crunching from open mics and trying to get booked around the country, most people are comedians. But if you're not, you might not know that New Year's is a particular night for comedy. It's kind of the
It is the St. Patrick's Day for Irish tenors. It is the January. I don't know the date for Elvis impersonators.
Exactly. It's really the day. Like, I would say on January or December 31st is probably the night where there are the most comedy shows total in America.
Yeah, yeah. If you are a comedian and you do not have a gig on New Year's Eve, you're not a comedian.
Yeah, and it's ironic that really, every time we go to move forward into a new year, basically for one night, we jump back to like 1987.
Yes. Yes, it is like 1987. Like the money. Well, the money used to be New Year's Eve. Money used to be great.
Oh God, I can't even imagine. I mean, it seems good to me now.
Yeah,
I can't imagine back when the money actually was good. Normally, what the New Year's money must have been like.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it was pretty decent, and a lot of places, a lot of room, and you know for some clubs. It was their opportunity to give their favorite comic a Christmas bonus.
Oh, sure. That explains why I'm not usually booked in clubs on New Year's. Sussmilch, damn it.
So, yeah, it was it was a way, yeah, that you get a little extra money to the comics. And I used to work it all the time, but at some point – I realized that it wasn't really a fun gig. It's not the gig that you think it should be.
No, I mean, in my mind, it's purely a mercenary thing. I really look at a New Year's gig of much like a corporate, which is I'm going to work really hard and I want everyone there to have a good time. But it's not a night where I worry about the art part of it, put it that way.
Yeah, yeah, no, absolutely not. And a lot of places, they don't realize, and even say some clubs don't care. Because a lot of them, I've done the New Year's gigs where they start, where they say, oh, how are we going to get the noisemakers out to everybody? And the waitresses go, well, I don't want to have to handle the noisemakers while I'm, you know, ringing up the tabs. So they say, oh, well, we'll just give everyone the noisemakers when they come into the show.
Yeah, we'll leave them on the table. Nothing wrong can happen there. Oh.
Yeah, yeah, that's how you know a club that hasn't been around for very long. Free noisemakers and split of champagne.
I will say that I've never been a part of a New Year's comedy show wherein the comic was supposed to be on stage during the turnover into the new year, and they actually shut up in time to get the thing.
You mean
it's always been like 12:06, and they're like, oh, yeah. Let's do the countdown.
Yeah, you know, and there was a time when you could get away with that
because
watches were notoriously inaccurate. Nope, I'm sorry. Now that everyone's got a phone that's somehow tied in through the internet to the atomic clock in Denver, Colorado, there is absolutely no way that people do not know exactly what time it is. And no comic has that good a timing to be off stage, you know, to actually do his last bit 10 seconds before midnight.
No, it's never happened. I've never seen it done well. I will be at a fun gig. I have a nice little New Year's tradition that I've done my best to cultivate. There's a booker in Minnesota named Rox Tarrant, I think. But she's an awesome lady. She's great. She used to book a ton of stuff, and now she mostly does Valentine's and New Year's gigs. But she's booked him for, oh my gosh, 20 years?
Wow.
We might outside random guess. I mean, somewhere around there, maybe longer, not much shorter. And so she's just gotten these places just every year. They have Rox puts on a show there, and she has maybe five of them going on a night. And because they've been there forever, they're always crowded. They're always packed. She likes to have older comics headline them, so I'm middle. She pays real well. And I love it because it's like, oh, I'm only doing 20 or 25 minutes. You know, it's the most zero responsibility, easy money of my year. Because when I do a corporate, you know, if you're getting paid a big check, you're like, oh, this could be tough and I got to do an hour and all that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But these are like, she usually books four comics and she was like an MC, a guest spot, a feature and a headliner. So I'll go on that third spot there. And
I decided many years ago that I don't really enjoy working New Year's, and the money is not, the money started going down, and it got to the point where it was no longer enjoyable to me for that money. So,
sure.
So what I decided Slagle's rule of booking, 300. It's my 360 rule. It's 360 days a year. I am a whore. I will drive ridiculously long distances for ridiculously short money in ridiculously bad places. There are 5 days a year, 5 nights a year, that I am a call girl.
Ah, I like this.
And I have decided on a price that must be met in order to get me out on Thanksgiving, Christmas Eve, Christmas, 4th of July, and New Year's Eve.
Yeah, that's a good rundown.
That price is so high that nobody in their right mind would pay Slagle that amount. But if they do, I will most certainly accommodate you.
you'll feign the enthusiasm of a lifetime.
You can email me booking@timslagle.com to find out what that price is, provided you have one of those dates available.
Yeah, I'm curious to set up a dummy gig just to find out what your future range is.
One of the last New Year's I did, there was another comic called Lane Arlen Fox. Are you familiar with him?
No, but that's a great comedy name.
More than that, it's a great serial killer name.
Yeah. Ooh, Lane Arlen Fox went into the clock tower at 3:42 p.m.
Exactly, and that's what he did. He did serial killer comedy.
Really?
Yes. He did a serial killer. One of my favorite lines is that, you know, they say pizza's a lot like sex. Mm. Even when it's cold, it's still pretty good.
Oh, God. That is pretty twisted.
And he had all these wonderful lines like that. And me, it was in the middle of my punk rock anarchist phase. And so putting us both on a show at the same time, the booker said, you know, it's a real interesting show, but, you know, you have to warn people that it's not your average show. So make sure you do that. Otherwise, you're going to be in trouble. Well, I worked the Hilton in Rapid City. South Dakota is where
I have been to that Hilton. It is quite nice.
Is where it was booked. And as we're checking in, I see a flyer there, and it's a picture of like a top hat and cane and white gloves and champagne glasses and champagne bottles popping. And, you know, looks like kind of a poster for a Fred Astaire movie.
Sure.
And then at the bottom in real small letters, it says, "Not for the faint of heart." So, well, the fanciest place in South Dakota, Rapid City, South Dakota, at the fancy, you know, on the fanciest night of the year, there were older couples in the audience actually wearing black tie and formals.
Wow.
And, it's you know, when the music dies down and Lane Arlen Fox walks to the stage and buries his two-headed axe into the stage floor and goes, "How y'all doing tonight?"
Wow.
You could just feel the breath coming out of the room.
So you followed him.
Yeah, well, it was much easier because it was pretty much just staff left in the room by the time I got on stage.
Wow, so we cleared the room pretty well.
Oh man, it was a nightmare of a show. Fortunately, the guy who the manager of the room kind of understood that the hotel made a little mistake in the promotion.
Yeah, I mean that's one of those you know, you can't blame Nirvana for not doing well at Symphony Hall, and you can't blame the Symphony for not doing well at a club show in Seattle. You know?
Exactly.
Yeah, that's so when was that? How many New Year's have you not worked?
I don't think I've worked in almost 20 New Year's, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's this year. This year I got a couple numbers that were that were not really close. but they were high enough that I realized maybe I need to drop that. Maybe I need to drop that number for the new millennium.
Maybe you're a streetwalking gal at heart. Is that what you're saying?
Maybe I'm on a different block now.
Well, my thing has always just been, I never really gave a rip about New Year's anyway. Like, it's just not a holiday I care about, and I don't really care to go to a New Year's party for the most part, especially on the heels of all the Christmas parties I've just been to. I certainly don't want to go out and fight the crowds in a public space. No. So it's like, yeah, I'll go out and make a bunch of money.
Sure.
Or some money, for that matter.
Sure,
you know,
but that's the other problem, is that it's amateur night.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The crowds are never ideal.
They're never ideal, and they're drunk.
Yeah, and that's why I really like these
drunk, because they're not used to being drunk.
These rock shows that she puts on for New Year's and Valentine's Day are very consistent because they are an older crowd, and so they're a wiser crowd.
Huh.
It's like if you're gonna have a New Year's show, do a bunch of, you know, 40 to 50 year olds as opposed to a bunch of 25 year olds.
Yeah, in reality, I always thought that I would be a good New Year's Eve show as well. Is that because I do a lot of current events, so that I actually could do a year in review.
Totally.
And but didn't happen.
Well, maybe next year you'll get them streetwalking shoes out, take a turn around the block and see who's shaking some money out the window, huh?
But until then, you can get this and all the podcasts at timslagle.com or on iTunes.
Yep, or at my website, brianmillercomedy.com, and I post them on Twitter on occasion at @realbrianmiller, if you want to follow me on Twitter.
And have a happy New Year's, whatever you all do, and we'll see you back in 2017.
See you in 2017.